She is awfully sweet. Very intelligent. Very spiritual. And I've known her for a lot of years and got to watch her grow deeper and deeper into her desire to represent God on this earth plane. And that's our speaker for tonight, our Reverend Connie Barrett. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Reverend Connie.
That was Diane, and she's been around lately when I've been places, and I'll just say, hey, I'm Connie, and Diane shows up and says, she's Reverend Connie Barrett, and I'm like, oh, my God. Now I have to act like I'm, you know, I can do know this, and I have to be careful about that. So, okay. I hope that's not on, Michael doesn't put that on the tape. Everything goes on.
What she's talking about there is everyone decides that you're going to be a minister, you have to be perfect. But Connie and I have started proving that's wrong.
That's right. And because I love Millie so much, and because I emulate her and don't remember names and we're not perfect, well, she's a lot more perfect than I am, I thought I would talk a little bit tonight about embracing everybody. And particularly because March is Women's History Month. Now, all the men can groan. But March is Women's History Month, and there is a reason for it. And so maybe just call to mind for a moment just some of the wonderful women that have touched you in your life. And Millie's always made me feel so special because I couldn't have my own children in this lifetime. But Millie says we all bring forward mother energy, and we all bring forward something. And just think about some of the incredible women that have mentored you or mothered you or been around for you. And I just think it's amazing. You know, I'm going to try and blend that in my talk, but when I think about women, I couldn't let this one go by. And you guys know how I love Johnny, right? Johnny comes with me everywhere I go. And little Johnny was really listening intently when they told him at school that Eve was created out of one of Adam's ribs. And later in the week, his mother noticed little Johnny lying down and he didn't feel well. And his mother said, what's the matter? And Johnny said, I have a pain in my side and I think I'm going to have a wife. Which would be a woman. And I know that those of you that know me have heard me say this before, but there are jokes about wives and husbands and men and women that really aren't quite so funny. They incorporate bias and prejudice and judgment about both genders. And what really particularly annoys me is when people try to use humor as a guide to be insulting. And oftentimes it's very hurtful. I don't think personally that either gender or any ethnic group or whatever should be belittled by these kinds of jokes. We need to listen, hear, speak, and think through our spiritual filters. Because of my own filters and my own spirituality, I can't not hear the lack of spirituality in most jokes. I mean, it's really awful in a way because, you know, people say, let's go to the comedy store, and I know I'm not going to like half the jokes they say, so I'm not going to go. And so I just make sure that I am not around something that I'm not going to enjoy because I am particular and I'm sensitive to it, and I work in the arena of equal opportunity, so all that stuff I'm very sensitive to. But we tell jokes about wives and husbands, men and women, overweight people, short people, tall people, the elderly, the disabled, ethnic groups. I don't think a lot of those jokes are funny. But I will share one thing with you that Roseanne Barr said. She said she refused to vacuum until Sears made a vacuum you could ride on. Now, does anybody see anything in that about why men get their little lawnmowers and they can ride on that and everything? Now, why don't they have a ride-around vacuum cleaner? I agree with Roseanne. And what about all those sexist jokes and the dumb blonde jokes? And Dolly Parton once said, though, Dolly once said, I'm not offended by those dumb blonde jokes because I know I'm not dumb. And I also know I'm not blonde. And I'm not great. And when I think of, but really, when I think of the world situation, and really what's often found at the bottom of turmoil is prejudice. You know, we gravitate to people that look like us or act like us. And it's really important for us to remember to think through our spiritual filters and embrace everybody. Embrace everybody. Let's not be stereotypical. In John 14:20, he quotes the prayer of Jesus to the Heavenly Father, and he says, I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Every individual is an integral part of God's creation, and we all share the same relationship with God's Creator, with our Creator. In the midst of our diversity, we are all part of the one spiritual source, our God. And if we all really, really believe this, I mean, we say it and we say we believe it, but if we really did, we would be incapable of hurting other people because we'd really be hurting ourselves. But so often the true spiritual essence of some religions become misused, whether they use religious beliefs to justify their own actions or to use it to condemn the actions of others using religion in that way. We know our world history and we know current events and how religion has been and still is used as an excuse for war in many places. If we could only accept and embrace our differences. People think if you don't look like me or act like me, that means you must be less than me. Therein lies the problem. In a way, it kind of makes me laugh because since anybody on this planet could say that about anybody else, so who are the different ones anyway? But more importantly, who are the spiritual ones? How spiritual are we when we decide to watch movies that demean other people or shows that demean women or seniors or persons with disabilities? How spiritual are we when we use cuss words or laugh at jokes we would never even listen to, let alone tell in church? Think about what you put into your mental computer, what you let go in there. We know that thoughts are things with their own powerful energy, and when we put non-positive thoughts, or trash, as I call it, in our minds, it makes an imprint. And now we have to get rid of it. We are each responsible for our own balance, and part of that balance is maintaining a healthy mental computer. And whose job is that? I mean, whose responsibility is it? I can't blame you or you for putting something in my mental computer. It's my choice. Do you berate violence and boast about being a proponent of world peace, and yet you're the first one in line to see every violent movie that hits the big screen? I hear people offer this defense, it's only a movie. Well, you know what? I don't give my dollars to those kinds of movies, particularly when women are the ones getting slashed in half of the movies. I just refuse to give my money to those kinds of movies. We need to rethink our beliefs and our positions and what they really mean in a spiritual sense and what it means to live spiritually. We are what we do and what we think. We're not fooling anybody. We know God and the angels are aware of our true thoughts. Our actions should be consistent with our spiritual thoughts, or we're not following our true spiritual path. When I was thinking about women, I read this book by Marianne Williamson years ago, and many of you know her as the author of A Return to Love, Living in the Light. But the book I'm talking about is she has a book called A Woman's Worth, and it's really quite interesting, and she discusses her personal experiences as a woman and her growth, but she incorporates with that how she did it with a spiritual connection, and how without that spirituality and growing, holding on to that spiritual connection, she would not have been able to achieve what she achieved. But she talks about how all of us, particularly women, are conditioned that we have to look this way, be this figure, you know, have this way, you know, and we're conditioned. Who's the perfect person like that? I wanted to get airbrushed when I came up here, but I couldn't get airbrushed. You know what airbrush is, you guys, right? Do you know what airbrush is? It was a joke. When the models go on the covers, they airbrush them, so you know they look so perfect. Naomi Wolf once said, "With spirituality, women are able to back away from seeing themselves as cheap imitations of fashion photographs, and instead, they see fashion photographs as cheap imitations of women." A woman who is truly self-aware, says Marianne Williamson, knows that herself is a light from beyond this world, a spiritual essence that has nothing to do with the physical world. That relates to men just as much as it relates to women. Each gender comes to their own awareness through knowing God. You all recognize gender conditioning. Men are supposed to be strong. If I were a man, I'd find it very difficult. Women have to meet the good look standards or the figure and all this, and men have to be the strong kind of person, and they can't cry. There's a thumb holding men down as well. Women are supposed to be gentle and nurturing. Sometimes, might surprise you, but sometimes I'm not the most gentle and nurturing person. But that was before I became a reverend, I'm sure. But the personalities of both genders encompass all these traits, and it's impossible to live up to what society expects us to look like, act like, be, because it's just impossible. There's a huge difference between a gentle man and gentle people, as opposed to a weak man. Gentle doesn't mean you're weak, but sometimes society sees it that way. The truth is, it's about who we allow ourselves to be inside and out, and not about what others might expect us to be. Mother Teresa and Gandhi come to mind. Christ-like gentle people come in every size, shape, and gender. Everyone has or displays strengths and weaknesses, irrespective of gender, race, or religion. We should look to see love and accept the God part of everyone. And this is what I always tell Millie. She can find that God part in every single person. And some people, it's a real challenge for me to find that God part, but Millie can do it. Millie can absolutely do it every time. I believe we shouldn't need each other as much as we should supplement each other in our own growth. I thought about how the only significant other we really need is God, the divine partner who is totally supportive and forgiving. If we focus on God love first, we'll not be led astray with prejudice and unrealistic expectations that we even put upon ourselves. God's love lets us know we are all his children and we're all here to grow. Prejudice could actually disappear. If we feel sad or anxious about the world situation, remember that God is in everything and every person. We have prayer. Now, some people get hung up on God's gender. That's not a problem for me. God is a father, God is a mother. Williamson says God has two faces and a million more. There's the father energy, the part that they say protects, teaches, and empowers us, that masculine part. The mother God, the nurturer who feeds us, cares for us. I see it as all one energy, genderless, without distinction. Everything, the yin and the yang, we're all one. God is all one. It doesn't matter to me if you say, you know, mother, father, God, goddess, Buddha. To me, I believe in God, and that works for me. And I know that regardless of whatever gender, my God is going to hear me the way I know my God will hear me. Millie reminds us, the only thing we can take with us when we cross is our love volume. And how do we build our love volume? But by seeing the God part in others and in ourselves. In our spiritual home, and we'll all get there someday, it's not going to be about what color you are, how tall or short you are, how skinny or overweight you are, how smart or ignorant you are, how much material wealth you have. If you're pretty or handsome, it's not going to matter. It's only going to be about love. And God love leaves no room for prejudice or discrimination. As Millie likes to say, we're all God's kids. We're all spiritually linked and part of each other. And when we remember that, we might find it just a bit more difficult to insult someone or maybe hurt someone unintentionally without even thinking that we might hurt that person. And I thought of little Johnny's father again. His poor father. Johnny said to his father, Daddy, did God make you? Father said, certainly, Johnny, God made me. Johnny looked around, looked at himself in the mirror, and he said, did he make me? Father said, yes, Johnny. And Johnny said, well, seems like he's doing better work lately. Thank you for giving me this time.